Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
Doing well. We had a good meeting last night, went through obviously some really important topics and made some progress.
All right. So I think it's pretty obvious that flood mitigation is going to be taking the majority of this show. And we're going to go into each of the six flood prone areas. It's now been up to six, as Longboat Landing is now being considered as its own separate area for flood mitigation. But before we get into that, I just want to maybe start off with hoping to maybe stop a little bit of confusion in the community. The motions that you guys passed yesterday that we'll talk about were not final decisions. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's no final decision made. There are several directives that were given, and the main directive that was given is that administration is going to come back on September 15th with a final report. That is when people can expect a final decision. What's going to happen between now and then, especially in Draper and Waterways and Longboat Landing, is there's going to be further discussion happening with the residents, and we're going to determine, or administration is going to determine what the best options are as we go forward. So there's going to be some very serious discussions happening with residents, which I think we heard over and over last night is what people want. We know there's options, but we don't know if they're realistic options. There's going to be some discussion. No one's going to get a check between now and September 15th, so there's no properties being bought out. There's just further discussion happening by administration, and then they're going to come back on the 15th of September, and I anticipate that that's the date when we will likely make some decisions. There's going to be a lot more targeted engagement, and now that we have a direction that's set down. There's no final decision, though. It could still go in a different direction than what the motions last night determined, but I still think there's a direction. And what people can expect, if you're living in Waterways, Draper, Ptarmigan Court, or Longboat Landing, is you can expect more discussion happening with our administrative team, and there's going to be a lot more engagement opportunities. So we expect everybody, we're hoping that everyone will participate in that and give us some feedback so that we have a better sense of true direction. Mm-hmm. We heard this last night, these are people's lives and this is our community, and we want to set people up for success. And different people have different desires. We totally understand that. Just to take people back in time as to why this is an important discussion to have, we have had 16 floods since 1835. So that's 185 years. And if you do the math, we average a flood about once every 12 years based on that math. The largest gap we've had between floods is 40 years, and that happened twice. The shortest gap that we've had is 1 year, and that happened twice. And we've had 11 floods between 0 and 10 years apart. So this is an issue for this region, and we need to take serious steps. You know, it's taken a long time to get to this point. Mm-hmm. Flood mitigation has actually been underway for some time in this region, but obviously it needs to go at an accelerated pace in my view. But And I can say that this council has taken it very seriously. Flood mitigation was the first major project approved by this council at $150 million shortly after we got elected. There is obviously a ways to go yet, and we still got to determine some steps. If anybody wants to see the history of flooding in this region, on rmwb.ca, we now have, there were 14 studies done. I think the first one was in 1964. This thing's been studied to death, I would suggest. And I would suggest anyone who's really got a strong interest on this, go to those old studies. You can see that things are talked about like dams, dikes, explosives. There are many, many discussions on many possible solutions. The solution that administration has currently come up with, especially for the downtown, which are berms, are the recommended option. Doesn't mean that everything else is excluded, but it's certainly the recommended option, and it's the one that's going to make the most sense. And we, I just want to remind everyone as well that this is a flood that's a 1 in 100 year flood. So notwithstanding the frequency of floods in this region, this reached a level that we'd only see in once in every 100 years. So we need to be ready. This is something that's going to hit the region again, and we want to be ready for it in the future. There's a couple of issues really driving this time, and I would say insurance is one. So if anybody is out there and they're having challenges with insurance, you're not alone. We heard that a lot last night. Some people are now not able to get insurance. Now, that's not everyone. We heard some people can get insurance. When I spoke to IBC, that's the Insurance Bureau of Canada, with our CAO yesterday, they flat out said that it is going to be a challenge to get flood insurance in our region in the future. And we heard from an insurance broker last night, Bryce Kumka, who reinforced that it's going to be a challenge. He said our region is going to be a lot more insurable if it has, you know, flood protection in place. So that's why that's important. The other issue that's really important, and just before we leave insurance, the amount of damage this region incurred was about over $436 million. And that is, that's a huge amount. That's in addition to the DRP funding. That's disaster relief funding that's given by the provincial government. So whenever there's a disaster in Canada, such as we had, the other levels of government, the federal and the provincial government, will come in and assist our region.
You mentioned that an update is expected to be made on September 15th, a potential final decision on that day. And we heard, you know, mixed reactions from the public yesterday, you know, some wanting more public engagement, some concerns that people want a decision now because they don't want to wait six more weeks to, you know, decide if they're going to rebuild their property down there. Any concerns about that timeline, Vin?
You know, I am concerned about it, but administration also needs time to engage all the residents in all these different areas. And it's a huge decision. It's people's lifetime investment, their homes. So I want to make sure it's done properly. And 6 weeks is an extensive time. And I've been pushing to have this dealt with sooner rather than later because I think people need to make decisions moving forward. At the same time, administration, a lot of the residents in the region feel that they haven't been consulted with properly. So, you know, I want to make sure that residents are consulted with. You know, in the end, what we need, whatever decision is results, and there could be a decision on the 15th, at least progress, I would say, on the 15th of September, it needs to balance several issues, the cost to the taxpayers, safety, and community support. So it's not ideal, but I think the 15th is at least going to give us a target and gives administration a target to work towards. And we gave them several targets within the motions that were given last night. They also have to look at what it would take to increase the level of flood protection for several areas and things like that. So there are several challenges that are before administration, and the biggest one being that there's going to have to be a lot of engagement with residents between now and then.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. Older. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And we're talking about flood mitigation as talks are moving forward with the six flood-prone areas. So Mayor Scott, let's just dive right into it and let's go into our first neighborhood waterways. And the recommendation is to start talks with owners under 250 meters about potential buyouts and then seeing if there's any other flood provisions we can do to help protect the area. We heard some concerns from residents yesterday, and this has been a common trend with residents in waterways that they simply, you know, just don't want to go. Do you expect there maybe going to be a tough decision here where, you know, half might want to go, half want to stay? Like, I know you guys want to get as close to 100%, but it seems like waterways is going to be as far as possible from that.
You know, I wouldn't say that at least I personally, if not everybody wants to leave, I think that's understandable. Some people have made this their home. It's one of the most historic parts of Alberta and certainly one of the most historic parts of our region. So if residents are not inclined to leave, then I totally would understand that. But those that do want to leave, I think we should at least explore that option for them. The risk might be too much for them to bear in the future. That is a floodplain, and there's obviously challenges with that region. But we did have some other ideas last night. The idea of jacking up houses was given. And there's lots of support for options. The other option that didn't really come up a lot last night but was discussed a bit was the potential of land swaps. So we're still waiting to hear from the province if land is going to be available for that purpose. So there's other ideas just beyond buyouts, but buyouts is one option. But if people are not inclined to go, now I'm just speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for all of council. First of all, I don't see expropriation as an option for myself, and that was mentioned by a few colleagues last night. I'm not going to force anybody to sell their home. That's just not going to happen from my perspective, but that's me. I can't speak for all my colleagues on that point, and that's not really before us right now. But, you know, I want those people who want to engage with municipalities to discuss a buyout to have that opportunity. And if there's others who have no interest in it and they just want to stay where they are, I would totally understand that. The only risk that those folks would face, and as long as everybody understands it, is the risk of insurance and the potential that they're not going to have floodplain insurance or flood coverage at a reasonable cost. I should add that in. And DRP pulling back. And if DRP is not available, I'm very concerned about people's safety and well-being and the well-being of their property. But I would certainly understand if somebody is not inclined to relocate or to sell their property. Mm-hmm. The other issue with buying people out, and a lot of people have questions, as does council. The calculations that were done and brought before council last night were on assessed values. And when I talk to people in the region, you know, a lot of people talk to me about using different phrases, fair market value. And we're going to need to strike a balance between cost, risk, and community support. And, you know, there's going to have to be a pretty serious negotiation. And some people, I believe, they owe more than what the assessed value is, or maybe even the fair market value. That's going to put the municipality in a challenging position to determine what the best way forward is. But that's why these discussions have got to happen, and that's why there's time to do that. You know, by September 15th, we expect administration to come back and say, well, this is where we are right now, and this is what we can do, and this is what we suggest. So that's kind of the feedback that I'm hearing, and that's the direction we gave as far as waterways.
Moving over to Draper, and much like waterways, we heard from a few residents who don't want to leave, some of them saying, you know, that was going to be their forever homes, and you can obviously understand, you know, their frustration with this. One idea that was brought up by one of the residents in Draper was the idea of, you know, raising properties. I know you kind of touched on it in waterways. Is this something that you think could potentially be an option, maybe to save some more homes in these areas?
Absolutely. You know, I'm willing to look at, and I think administration is willing to look at every option that's put out there. So I was glad to hear that option. That was somebody that I respect a lot who brought that option forward, and I think that you know, it's obviously going to cost less to raise a property than it is to relocate someone. So why not explore it? You know, I think every option should be on the table that makes sense. And Draper is very similar in its historic value to this region. And if people are not inclined to leave, then I'm not going to be the one to force them out. And that's me speaking personally. There's not going to be any expropriation that I'm ever going to support. Others may hold different views, but I don't think you'll see a lot of support for expropriation. But those that want to leave and they can't accept the risk, I think they need to have serious discussions with the municipality. Then there should be an opportunity for them to at least consider what opportunities are available. Mm-hmm. And those that remain, once again, they're going to be subject to the challenge of limited DRP funding in the future if the provincial government pulls back, as they've signaled they're going to, and the insurance challenges.
Okay, kind of just going off that, and I think one question a lot of these residents have is, say that the recommendation and council approves buyouts. So like I said, no decision yet, but on September 15th, a decision is made and buyouts are going to move forward. Can residents say no and still stay in the area? Is that something that maybe council will consider, or is this going to be like that one size fit all plan?
Yeah, I don't see a one size fit all plan being realistic. And as far as I'm concerned personally, yes, if someone's going to wants to stay, they can. But that's not a decision that council's made yet, but it's coming back before council for those kind of discussions. But just speaking for myself personally, we're not going to force people to relocate from a region that they've lived in all their lives and want to continue to live in. But that's another reason why there's going to be a lot of engagement. And those kind of discussions are going to happen, I anticipate, on September 15th or whatever date that discussion does occur. I believe it'll be the 15th, because we want to give people some certainty moving forward. So I anticipate the 15th will be exactly where we have those discussions. And that's why we have this time between now and then to determine how many people want to relocate, how many people want to be bought out. And I hope people choose to live in this region. One thing I'm very concerned about is people relocating and leaving the region. Obviously, I want as many people to live in this region as possible. So I'm not a big fan of people relocating out of the region. So a land swap might make more sense in some circumstances. But that's why administration has some time, and then they're going to come back to council as a whole and discuss what the opportunities are and what the and where the direction that they recommend. The ultimate decision is going to be up to council, but you know, we expect and we respect that administration is going to come forward with recommendations and suggestions.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And we're talking about flood mitigation, as council approved yesterday, starting the conversation with residents in Draper and Ptarmigan Court about buyouts, as well as residents in Waterways and Longboat Landing who live under 250 meters. Now, this is not a final decision. They are just starting the conversation. Mayor Scott has said a final decision could potentially happen on September 15th. I know you just have a couple more minutes, Mayor Scott, and there's still two other areas I was hoping to chat about. Let's start with downtown. The recommendation right now is to continue to move forward with flood mitigation, the current project that has been ongoing. And we've been hearing from some residents that, you know, they may have wanted a buyout from downtown. Is that still something that could be on the table, or is it just too expensive?
Yeah, no one in the downtown is going to be bought out. It's the cost of doing it was $1.2 billion, and it just wasn't realistic. So we're not going to do that. We are trying to revive the downtown, and we've invested $150 million already in flood mitigation, and we're continuing those projects. So the motion for downtown was to continue with the municipality's approved structural flood mitigation project, including investigating the cost of a higher level of flood protection and limit development below 250 meters and introduce enhanced flood provisions in the land use bylaw for development above 250 meters. So there's going to be, you know, a review of those issues going forward, but we are going to continue the mitigation project for downtown. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to emphasize, because I think some people get it confused, Longboat Landing has been separated out. So that is being looked at. The downtown as a whole is not. Mm-hmm. That's the direction we're going with for the downtown. Longboat Landing is being treated separately than the downtown.
All right. And quickly moving over to Taganova, you guys are going to be looking at different options for flood mitigation. Why don't you think the current plan is maybe the best path forward for Taganova right now?
You know, it's another issue where one of the things that certainly I mentioned is I want to look to see whether there is going to be potentially a higher level of flood protection available at a limited cost. So we're going to, once again, it's a balance, but we want to see if there's higher levels of flood protection that can be instituted there as well. But there is a plan for that, and I see that we're going to be doing flood mitigation there as well. And it might be to a higher level, it might be at the same level as planned.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, before I let you go, one last thing I was hoping to chat about, just so this isn't entirely about flood mitigation, but one other motion that was passed yesterday was sending a letter of support to the province in support of the Northern Living Allowance for Early Childhood Educators. I know this is something you guys have advocated for in the past. Just your thoughts on why this is needed right now in Wood Buffalo.
Yeah, something that's really important. I think that it was very briefly discussed last night because of the time, but I think anybody who has a chance and wants to look at the materials in our agenda, it's still online and will be, and you can take a look at it, but we think it's very important. So the resolution was that we were basically going to advocate to the government of Alberta for the reinstatement of the Northern Living Allowance. This is just an opportunity. The Northern Living Allowance impacts a lot of people in this region, and we want to make sure that those who benefit from it, it's another example of if they're not receiving that Northern Living Allowance, you know, are they going to stay in that field and are they going to leave the region? It's really two reasons. And from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are not considering staying in the field. So that's something that concerns me a lot. We want to make sure that our young people are looked after. So, and the best way to do that is to make sure that the people who take care of them, the real champions of young people, stay in this region and are paid properly for the hard work that they do.
I just want to clarify, has the municipality already advocated for this before? And was there, you know, any message back from the province?
Yeah, no, we have lobbied for it before. So on March 10th, 2020, Council passed a resolution to lobby the provincial government regarding issues facing the child care profession in the region, including concerns over cancellation of the accreditation process and the desire to reinstate the Northern Living Allowance. And that was discontinued on July 1st. So we have not heard back. It's something that we think is really important. The request for reconsideration for the child care profession has been denied by the Minister of Children's Services. So there was that denial, but we're asking them to take another hard look at things.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, I know you're a busy man, so I'll let you go. But thanks, as always, for coming on the show after every meeting.
You bet. All the best.
Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune in to Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.